Good morning, my name is Johnny. Welcome to the Union Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. Now I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word with today's opening message. Sunday, March 17th, it's about prayer. And the affirmation is, I feel the presence and power of God as I pray. In the Revealing Word, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore described prayer as the most highly accelerated mind action known. This awareness is my comfort and assurance as I release my worldly concerns and feel the presence of God. As I pray, I immerse myself in the silence so I can be still and know. From this place of deep communion, I relax and focus my attention on the divine ideas of love, life, wisdom, strength, and order, which are always mine to claim. As these spiritual truths flourish in my consciousness, thoughts of my troubles and worries fade from my mind. Sorry about that. In the past, I may have believed prayer was a way of asking God for help and solace. Now I understand it as one of the best ways of helping and uplifting myself. And from the Bible, be still and know that I am God. And that's Psalm 46:10. And now it's time for Surely the Presence. Please join us in singing while Joyce leads us in Surely the Presence. Let's all say our opening statement together. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my love, God the Lord. Welcoming song. Joyce will lead us in our welcoming song, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. Please stand if you wish. Don't sit down after, because then we will greet each other.
It's Mr. Sparkle Eye.
Big time. Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
Can you please mute the audio back there so I can turn the Zoom on?
Yes, we can.
Hey, y'all. Who do we have on Zoom today? We have just me and you, Fred?
No, there's more, I think. It shows there are more, but I'm not sure. I think maybe Joanne, I'm not sure where she's at.
Joanne is just in the church, I think.
Oh, is she? So, well, then I guess you're right.
Yeah, so, hey. I'm giving you a big hug from Windsor.
You got one back.
And I have my I'm Irish for the day button. Irish for the day.
Good.
I actually went to Unity of Windsor and gave my talk already this morning. So I'm all warmed up. And good. My friend Maria gave me this pin because, you know, it's only right to have an Irish little bit of green. I told her I have green eyeshadow on. Does that count?
I don't know.
I think.
Have you ever been to Ireland? Have you ever been
no.
to Ireland?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yes. Love the people. Love the country. Just a great experience. Aer Lingus had all the airlines over there for a conference. You know about the 737 aircraft. We talk once a year, normally, about our problems. So all the airlines get together with the manufacturer, was Boeing, and it's a very nice meeting, you know, where everybody's friendly and get along really good together. No competition in that one.
Okay, I think we're back in church. Thank you.
We are. And Johnny's muted.
All right, that's wonderful. Okay, what do we have here? It is time for announcements. Are there any announcements?
The schedule is on the door. We need a leader for next week.
That's good. Last Sunday, the 5th, so 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, we have an Easter potluck, Joanne?
We are. I wrote yes.
Okay, all right. So we might want to make a list so it's not just random.
I think the only difference is somebody should bring food, right?
You don't eat those things.
No, but if you put them in the microwave, they go up and
they go. Oh, that sounds like fun. Okay, no. Yes.
Last century, you haven't gone to the Evergreen Playhouse to see Nansen. Is today the last one? We have a matinee. It's probably the very best one I've seen. It was hilarious. And in the last solid for 2 solid hours. It was three locations.
Do you think there will be seats left?
There were seats. I went last night.
And there were seats?
There were seats.
People just don't know, huh?
They don't know. This, I mean, some of them have been too good to sold out. This one was top notch. I thought the five, none, they were professionals.
What time does the matinee start?
Probably 2.
Not 2 o'clock, okay.
It's worth it. I mean, you're just here in Olympia at the Evergreen Playhouse. It's so close.
Here in Olympia?
Here in Centralia.
Okay, good.
Did I say Olympia? Oh, I was thinking not Olympia. Yeah, Centralia, down the road.
Yeah, it's just a few blocks away. It's wonderful place. Never been there, go. Okay, so now it's time for our Unity Statement. Please join us in the Unity Statement. We will say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values. We work in our presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to the consciousness of our oneness in God. Time for a song of joy. Joyce will lead us in a song of joy, O Danny Boy. Please stand if you like.
Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent. And once again, we'll be reading from 40 Days, Let Go, Let God, still available in digital form at unity.org. So if you want to check that out. Jesus let go of being right. This is by Reverend Ellen Davenport. Jesus did a lot of explaining during his ministry. He tried to describe the nature of God, the oneness of humanity with the divine, and our ability to live from Christ consciousness in the way he did. He told parables, created memorable sayings, performed healings and other signs, all in an effort to help his followers understand their divine nature and the impossibility of being separate from God. What he didn't try to explain was himself, who he was, why he was there, and how we should think of him. We've seen how he let go of others' opinions. Despite wild speculation about him, he didn't defend himself. He let go of needing to be understood. Even when faced with criticism, he didn't have to prove himself right. We see this most vividly in the most dire circumstances, at his trial. The four Gospels differ somewhat in their telling of his appearance before the Roman governor, Pilate, and only in Luke, the regional ruler Herod. But in each version, he refuses to explain himself. Matthew is the most succinct. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor himself was greatly amazed. In Luke, when Pilate realized Jesus was Galilean, he packed him off to Herod, the Judean ruler, who happened to be in Jerusalem. But Herod also could not get an explanation from Jesus. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see him perform some signs. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod and his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then they put on an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. In each version, Pilate could find no crime Jesus had committed and was ready to release him. But the crowd demanded Barabbas instead. Jesus was led to the cross. We may be astonished that Jesus gave up his one chance to defend his actions and explain his teachings. To reassure the authorities, he had no intention of overthrowing the government, but was establishing a spiritual kingdom. He let go of the need to be seen as right. He let his work speak for itself, and his ministry has been justified by the billions who have practiced his teachings for the past 20 centuries.
All right, thank you, Tom. Okay, now it's time for our meditation song. Please join us as Joyce leads us in the meditation song, Old Irish Blessing. You may remain seated.
Sun shine warm upon your face, the rain falls on your head.
Thank you, Joyce. Now it's time for our affirmations. Please join us in the affirmations. Together, I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experienced.
I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am in peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way.
So this is the third Sunday of the month. So today we'll be saying the Blessed Lord's Prayer, followed by the Alleluia. Our Creator,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, I am thy kingdom come, I am thy will being done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving. I am leading all people from temptation. I am delivering all people from error. For I am the kingdom,
I am the power,
and I am the glory of God.
In eternal, in more than this
station. Hold on a second. For a speaker. We have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning we hear from licensed Unity teacher Marriott Jones, who will speak about I Am the Divine Human.
I am the divine human, and so are you. So I believe that it is each person's work here in the physical realm to integrate the truth of the divine human. The most wonderful opportunities for integration happen when we are confronted with obstacles or challenges that invite us into an expansive territory. And think about it, we experience bumps and challenges of some sort every single day. You know, they might not seem like big bumps and big challenges, and maybe they're not, but they're still there. And if we choose to navigate them with the powers that are inherent to us within our divinity, then we can have a smooth day. When we are conscious of our divinity, we can integrate our divinity and humanity, and we can integrate and know our oneness, realize that we're not separate. It's not like we're divine and human, two separate things. No, it's an integration, and becoming conscious, really waking up, is really all that we're doing when we say integration. So we talked earlier in this service, in your statement, in your unity statement, it says, it talks about becoming conscious of our oneness. And oneness has come up a couple of times in this service. And I was thinking about oneness. And sometimes, you know, we're compared to a drop in the ocean, ocean being God, and the drop being a person. Really, we are not a drop, because a drop can be separated from the ocean. We are the waves of the ocean. You cannot take a wave out of the ocean. That's how completely one we are with all that is, with the creator of all. So when we do have bumps and challenges This is the exact place where we show up at our best. Think about it. Think about, you know, disasters that happen and how people who aren't even aware of their spirituality will show up to give their best. We're divine, even if we don't realize we're divine. But my invitation to you is to become more aware of how divine you really are, so that you can call it forth and feel more at ease, at one, more natural, that you realize this is how it is for you. You're a natural child of God, child of the universe. This is all natural to you. It's really not a stretch when you engage your divinity. Now, there can be all kinds of drama and bumps if we forget to use our divinity. So chaos, I believe, is an invitation to activate order. In this physical realm, chaos and order go hand in hand. And order makes sense of the unpredictable. It helps us navigate all the bumps. Order is one of our spiritual powers. As divine human beings, we have access to many creative powers. You are a creator made in the spitting image of the Creator. In order to integrate the divine aspect and the human aspect of ourselves, we call on and use divine powers to assist our human self. And we talk about 12 of those powers in Unity. Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity, about 140 years ago, they came up with 12 powers. And it's very convenient because we focus on a power each month of the year. And there's also one power assigned to each disciple that followed Jesus when he was alive on the planet. I like what Linda Martella-Whitsett and Deanne Morency say in their new book, Discover Your Divinity, A Modern Guide to Affirmative Prayer. To say that God, divine mind, or oneness is goodness does not mean that everything we see or experience in the relative world is good. It means that goodness and all the qualities and principles that arise from goodness, such as order, harmony, peace, and so on, are available and accessible at any moment, regardless of the situation. So I learned a mnemonic, which is a memory tool, something to help you remember. It's a mnemonic to help us remember the 12 powers that Unity talks about. So I'm going to share my screen. And I'm just going to hide my taskbar. There we go. Okay, lip juice flows. So juicy lips flow. L is for love. I is for imagination. P is for power. Judgment, also known as wisdom. U is standing for understanding. Z is for zeal. E is for elimination, also known as release. Flows. F is for faith. L is for life. O is for order. W means will, and strength stands, and S stands for strength. So I'm going to leave this slide up for a bit to get you thinking about all the powers that you use in your daily life. I was in Las Vegas the past week with my husband, Jim, and this was our first visit to Vegas. Now, this isn't something that is on my bucket list. And when a friend asked me if I wanted to go, that friend happens to be my bestie, Audrey Pitchford. Her husband, Greg, was going to Vegas for a bowling tournament at South Point Hotel. And I couldn't resist. I'm like, yeah, okay. Now, I wouldn't have really considered Vegas as a destination for me to go to because I'm a nature girl. And I see all the things I hear about Vegas is it's pretty loud, noisy, chaotic. And I'm like, that's not me. Turns out I discovered that chaos can be a lot of fun. So I say yes, because I wanted to hang out and have fun with my bestie. When you say yes to love, all manner of miracles happen. We create them. We manifest those miracles as we plan, as we use our wisdom. We have the power to be miracle makers when we say yes to our good. And our good will come in a package that also has bumps, because wherever we go, there we are. So we need to tune in to our divinity. And remember self-care, which is love, no matter how exciting and fun the venture is that we have embarked upon. When we tap into divine knowledge, we tap into a strength that is our heritage. And in that place, we can handle any wild ride, any roller coaster experience that we choose to embark upon. So I was excited to go. I was thinking it was the four of us only, and it was, but then family and friends decided to come along for the ride. And that really changed it for me. And I sat with that for a while because I wasn't so sure. All of a sudden, I felt uncertain. I have a lot of introvert inside myself, and I'm like, I've never traveled with a big group before. That's all new for me. And so me and Audrey talked about it, and we talked about how we would take care of ourselves, how we would establish boundaries, how we would trust and be sure to be open and honest and talk about our feelings and needs while we were together. And when things arose that upset us or that we found bumpy, we would express those things openly with each other. So that's a big help. And so that power of wisdom to prepare oneself beforehand, talk things through before you go, that is wisdom, definitely. So once I got a lay of the land of it being a big group, I started feeling very excited about this. I'm like, okay, really, I've always been curious what it'd be like to travel with a big group. And I was able to realize that there was good there waiting for me. New friends to be made, family connections that could be deepened. So I was ready to go. Now, I have a question for you. When plans you have made change unexpectedly without you being consulted, how do you feel? Or when life throws you a curveball completely unexpectedly, did not consult you first, how does that affect you? And then once you've acknowledged your feelings, what inner power do you draw on to assist your human self? So I would invite you to just turn to your neighbor and share, what is it that that you feel when life throws you a curveball, and what power do you use to assess your human self? So just take a minute and go ahead and do that now. And for online, Brett, you can put it in the chat.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, thank you. Back to my fabulous Vegas story. I'm just going to put this floating. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Back to my fabulous Vegas story. It turns out I also have friends that live there that I hadn't even thought of yet. Lisa Lee and her partner, Reverend Jim Lee, are spiritual leaders at Unity of Las Vegas. I gave her a call and let her know that I'd be popping into town. And so we set up a time to have coffee and catch up. The other thing, as we were planning our trip, me and Jim realized two things. Las Vegas is a place of love. I mean, lots of weddings and lots of love connections happen there. And we were thinking, this is our 10th wedding anniversary. So that was the second thing we thought of. Do you want to get married again? Do you want to renew our wedding vows? And we were like, yeah, that'd be really fun. So then all kinds of wild ideas. Should we have Elvis take care of the officiating? Should we, you know, what can we do to make this fun? And so we were having a lot of fun planning, and we did some research, and we found out it was going to be perhaps a little more money than we had planned to pay, and that there was a lot of arrangements that needed to be made. So I just kind of sat with it. We just kind of decided, well, let's just sit with this. And I was talking with a friend, and I was telling her about my plans, and I was telling her about Lisa, who's a licensed Unity teacher as well, and that we'd be visiting her, and that also we wanted to do wedding vow renewals. And she helped me realize that Lisa would be the perfect person to do that wedding renewal. And it's so funny. Have you ever had that experience when there's an answer right in front of your face and somebody helps you see the obvious? I love it when my friends help me this way, get out of my own way and see the exact perfect answer right in front of me. So I called Lisa, and she said that she would love to do this. And then it started getting really exciting. We were getting closer and closer to our trip. I asked Lisa, do you know of a tree we can get married under? Because, you know, it's not a big to-do. There's going to be six or seven of us at the most. It's going to be a 20-minute ceremony at the most. She's like, I'll look for a tree. Anyway, when we arrived in Vegas and it came time to talk about details about how we would do this ceremony, she said, you know, Mariette, it's hard to find a tree where you don't need permission, somebody's permission, to stay in integrity about the whole situation. You really need to, all that kind of stuff. And I felt the ride get a little bit bumpy. I'm like, oh, wow, this is like getting a little scary. Like, is my plan going to come true? And so reaching out to my bestie, Audrey, we talked all this out. She was so very kind, and I asked her to help me, and she said yes. And so she made some phone calls, called the hotel, was there where we were staying. They had a beautiful pool area, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun just to have it in the pool area? And but of course, you know, no, there's arrangements that need to be made far in advance, and there's money to be paid for that whole situation. And it's not inexpensive. It's quite pricey. And we're like, what can we do? And I had an idea about Red Rocks Canyon. Red Rocks Canyon Park is close to Las Vegas. Actually, Las Vegas is surrounded by mountains, as you may know. It's surrounded by nature. And I knew that I had wanted to go out there to visit while I was in Las Vegas. So I'm like, that would be a good idea. But I tucked it aside because really I was afraid to ask Lisa that would be too much to ask of her. It's a 40-minute trip out there, 40-minute trip back. It just seemed to be a lot to ask of someone. And when Audrey brought it up, I tapped into courage because she brought it up. It was a divine idea that had already ran through my head. I recognized it as love, and I knew that, and wisdom, because if Lisa wanted to say no, she can say no. So I did. I gathered my courage. I called her, asked her for the favor. And that can be hard to do, right? To ask big favors of people. And she said, yes, actually, Mariette, Red Rocks Canyon is my most favorite place in the world. I would love to go there. It's actually the place I really resonated with when I first came here, and it helped me make Las Vegas my home. Because she's a nature girl too. So long story short, we all met out there. There were some bumps along the way. We went in separate cars and at different times, but we had a place to meet, the visitor center. And when we showed up at Red Rocks Canyon Park gate entrance, they said, you need a reservation. And I'm thinking, okay, now we need to get a hold of Lisa to find a place to meet her because we're no longer meeting her at the visitor center. It turns out that reservations for the day were sold out. I don't know how that works, how a great big, you know, park in the desert can possibly be sold out, but this is the world we have created, right? And our human so-called wisdom. But everything worked out. At first, panicky feelings came up for me and Jim. How are we going to sort this out? We tapped into our love, into our courage, into our wisdom and understanding. And, you know, we know that things are going to work out. We're going to find a way. We just need to stay out of fear. So we released our fear. We stepped into wisdom and understanding, and we found a place where we could get cell phone service. We got a hold of Lisa. we ended up meeting her in front of the gate, and and she was on her way. So it worked out perfect. We met her. We found a lookout point that was close by where we could just have a wonderful view of the mountains surrounding us. And what do we find out there is a wedding party getting married at the lookout point. And Elvis is doing their service. It's actually her brother, the bride's brother, who we found out later, who's doing this for her. So we found a spot for our wedding renewal, and we, it was the perfect spot. We even found, Lisa said, there's a tree. It was actually a yucca plant that was really tall. And I said, that's a perfect tree. We went, we stood in that holy sacred spot, and we used our power of powers, and we stepped into a portal. The ceremony provided a beautiful portal into a higher level of trust, of commitment, of divine love. And we've been really resonating with that energy ever since. Me and Jim, we've been having a lot of fun with that increased love connection, trust connection. Yes, and a more expansive vista, a more expansive way to be together. So once we finished up our ceremony, the bride approached us and the groom and Elvis. So the icing on the cake, where we took pictures with Elvis, we got to know each other and a little bit, introductions were made. We shared our joy, our mutual joy, and it was perfect. So serendipity happened. Order was always there, waiting to be uncovered as we used our powers to navigate each bumpy, chaotic moment. We stayed with the knowledge that we are divine humanity. It was beautiful. So this is my story that I wanted to share with you. And it's a really miraculous divine story. And we can create these miraculous stories each day of our lives as we change our mental state, as we choose to live life to the highest level that we can, as we come up with adventurous ideas to make our life more fulfilling for ourselves in each everyday type of situation. And as we wake up to how much we really use our divine powers, as we become conscious, then we will use them more and more. It's a delight to tap into divinity and use it and feel the power, change our mind state, change our heart condition, breathe into our heart when we're feeling frightened. It's a delight for our divine self to assist our human self and to know the true oneness that we are, the wave in the ocean of all that is, of love, of God, whatever you want to call it, our source, that is the ocean, and we are the waves. So why don't we go into meditation with these thoughts? And but just before we get into meditation, I do actually have another slide for you. There is Red Rock Canyon. Isn't it gorgeous? And there we are. And there's Elvis, and there we all are. And a wonderful, joyous state in the powerful ambiance of the mountains and of our divine selves resonating together as one. That's Lisa and myself and Jim. Let's go into meditation. And I want you to think of a power. Which of the 12 powers do you want to own for yourself right now? Perhaps you have a need that you could use some powerful help. We will meditate on the power that you choose. So the power for March, actually, that we focus on in March is wisdom. You could say to yourself, I am wisdom, if you want to use that power. Or whichever power you choose, I am blank. I am that power. Just say that power to yourself. So breathe in, choose a power right now. Take a moment. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. I am blank. I am this power. Feel this power that it is you. Feel the I am-ness. Realize, tap into this power as being you. Breathe it in again. And the reason why you are this power is because you are the divine human. Let's go into the silence and hold that power in our hearts. So I invite you to come back to this time and space, knowing and realizing you are that power. And I invite you to talk about it. You know, when you gather for your refreshments after service, talk about how you navigate your human fears and insecurities and judgments and all of it, all the stuff that we carry. Talk about how you navigate those things and how divine power shows up as you call it forth. Because the more we tell our success stories, the more we own it and the more we use it, the more we wake up to it. You are a blessing, my friends, and you are blessed. Peace.
Thank you, Maria. Okay, we started this new thing, so we're going to take just a few minutes in silence to absorb and reflect on today's message. Okay, now it's time for a healing prayer. If you'd like to focus our collective group energy for someone, speak out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. A number of our church have requested we send out healing prayers and energy to all people and animals displaced by war and natural members of our communities who struggle to meet basic human needs, and those we've lit candles for, and those who can mention that. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all, living ever to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now is our opportunity to give. We are so grateful to be in the spirit of generosity and giving of our time, talent, and treasure. We welcome each of these gifts from you as a member of our spiritual community. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offering in our hearts and in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Of our faith and belief, they do the work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Let's all say a prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is and all is well. It's time for a peace song. Let's stand for a circle. Enjoy hands in preparation for our song of peace. While you're moving, let's express our gratitude to those who made our service possible today. Speaker was Mariette, Reader Tom, Joyce, our musician, and Joanne, who ran our slide show. Next week, our speaker will be a reader, I believe, right? Now, please stay with us for a few minutes if you wish. Visit on Zoom or join us downstairs for food and fellowship at the peace song.
Let there be peace on earth, that peace there was made.
favorite around.